Talking about the lakefront, we are going to be, I know the mayor, she spoke with reporters today. She has no official sort of press conference type things scheduled, but she did speak with reporters, and some of us were wondering, well, is this going to be the day when she decides to open the lakefront? Not going to happen, not today at least, it doesn't seem. The last we heard from the mayor was that we're not there yet, and then it was soon, and then it was very soon, and we don't know how soon is. Let's talk to Gregory Pratt. He's been following this issue among so many others across our city for the Chicago Tribune. Greg, thanks for calling in to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So this is, any thoughts about the lakefront here, since it is still closed, a lot of people wondering, and then we have other things to talk to you about as well, but I wonder what you think about where we are. Is this going to be the week, do you think?
I think it's got a good chance to be this week or next, you know, but I would, it's interesting. She'll use the word soon, and it doesn't always mean soon, and sometimes next week doesn't mean next week. Like Lollapalooza a couple weeks ago, she said would be decided next week, and, you know, nothing since. And similarly with the lakefront, I think it is, in fact, coming soon. I think there's a good chance, from what I understand, talking to her and her team, it may be this week, but I would not also be going, I wouldn't hold your breath. But the good news is that it's functionally open in a lot of places right now anyway, if you wanted to go out there and you're brave of heart.
Where do you mean? Where is it functional? Navy Pier, I suppose, right? Starting this week?
There's a bunch of spots where, you know, they haven't really been guarding anymore. In fact, the Tribune did a good little story about how there's just a ton of people have been making it out there because the barricades are down and officers have been directed elsewhere, and it's not technically open. But you know, and actually you don't even have to sneak in. It's still open, which it's still technically closed. So I suppose you would get in trouble for it, but it is practically open in a lot of places, especially along the north side.
No one's going to stop you, I guess, is what you're saying. So, and you've seen that this weekend. You saw evidence of people biking and walking in both in the sand. They were sitting out having picnics and sort of felt as if some people were just sort of like, hey, it's as open as it'll ever be, and just heading out there doing that kind of thing. But I think their actual reopening, the reason maybe part of the reason it's taking so long is, aren't there real plans in the works to try to have monitors out there that sort of make suggestions about social distancing? I've heard of all kinds of things thrown out there about what it might look like, and they've looked at other cities where they have similar types of situations where people want to flood to their lakefronts or their waterfronts, and they're looking at that to say, okay, this is maybe how you implement it. It may just not be, okay, it's open kind of thing. There might be a bigger plan there.
Well, she made an example. She made a reference to the Wrigley Field ushers, and something like that could be an option, which would be kind of interesting.
What does that look like?
Well, it would be people monitoring and saying, okay, we're going to have a certain number of people watching the lakefront, and we're going to have a certain number of people coming in, and you can come in to bike from 9 a.m. till 10 a.m. or something, and then after that, you know, there's walking times. That's a plan she floated a couple weeks ago. I don't know if that's what it's going to look like, although she has made reference to monitors before and staggered times. And so something like that is probably still in the works.
It does seem as if people are just going to the Indiana beaches, they're going to the Evanston beach, wherever they can go instead of going to the city beach, that maybe... I just think we're ready for it. We're ready for the lakefront to be open. I think we know so much more about social distancing now than we did before. And I just think psychologically, it's a big move for the city to have the lakefront at least in use, right, in the summertime. It's a big deal.
I think psychologically the city has reached a point where people think it is okay and that they are better informed and that they can go out there and they're restless. And whether that's true, I guess we won't fully know until it's actually formally reopened and we're out there, and we'll see if there's an influx of cases. But I do think in general the city feels like it has done what it needed to do, and now they want a break. I think that's true out there.
Yeah, I think that would mean a lot to people, and hopefully people would, you know, deal with it in the right way and not make people uncomfortable. But to have it there, to have it open, I don't know. I think it'd mean a lot. Let me ask you about some of your other reporting, because you were talking, you've been doing a lot of work here, Gregory, over this very eventful week plus in our city, and so many things happening. You've talked about everything from the looting to the peaceful protests to the private security firms that were hired to protect businesses, and people didn't seem to like that plan either. Initially, they said, okay, we don't want the National Guard. Let's keep them out of the city. So the city decided, well, let's hire three private security firms. And they spent over $1 million to do it. And not everybody was pleased with that decision.
Yeah, and that's interesting, too, because the city was in a really tough spot where they did not want a repeat of last week. I'm not sure that the additional security actually made a difference. It feels to me, and I was out on the street earlier in the week and last weekend, that the looting energy had dissipated. By the time we got to Friday, I think by the time we got to Tuesday, that energy was more or less gone. I think you had a lot of chaos the weekend before this past weekend, and it carried over a little, and then things got back under control. Now, if you're the mayor's office, do you want to gamble that that is in fact true and that it is in fact over? I guess they were sensitive to being criticized, but now they have to face even more criticism that, you know, they spent this money, and you see aldermen like Alderman Matt Martin, who's a freshman progressive from Ravens. He's got Ravenswood and parts of Lincoln Square, saying, "Oh, we can always find money for security and for police, but not for other things," and that's something she'll have to deal with. But whether it made a difference is a really interesting question, and I'm not sure that it did.
You know, well, that's the thing. I mean, we thought about the whole pushback about the National Guard, is they're not trained in use of force. They're not necessarily trained in riot situations. I'm not so sure private security people are either. I mean, are they trained with dealing with these kinds of situations? Monterey Security and others like that? Usually they sort of patrol festivals, and I've seen them, you know, at sporting events. I see them at the Bears. I see them all kinds of places, but I've never really noticed them dealing with any kind of protests or things like that. Are you aware of that being in their what they do, part of what they do?
Well, they can do some crowd control, but you're right that they probably have very limited training in that, and that's perhaps being generous. But they also had their powers taken away even further, where they were told, at least according to the city, you're just there to watch and call 911 if something starts happening. Mm-hmm. I think the issue with the National Guard is it really does escalate it a little to have military vehicles, to send in some military vehicles into Englewood and Little Village is just potentially a really bad look that can inflame things. And so I think they're probably better trained to deal with looting than security guards were, although it's hard to make a comparison. But the optics of it are so much worse, where it looks like you're militarizing a response in neighborhoods, that I don't think that was ever a realistic option for the city based off of what was happening.
We saw National Guard troops downtown this weekend. I saw people posting them, people talking about them outside Holy Name Cathedral. I don't know if that was a staging area near some of the downtown restaurants. I think, did you see any as you were? I don't know where you were downtown.
Yeah,
downtown.
I saw them downtown a bunch. You know, they were mostly guarding the perimeter and guarding downtown, the perimeter of downtown, I mean, and guarding the Loop. And, you know, I live in Little Village, and I thought they were jarring downtown, because they were jarring downtown. It's not every day you see armored vehicles with soldiers standing outside of them in your city, but I think I would not want to see, and I don't think my community would want to see, would feel good about having armored Humvees on 26th Street in Little Village.
Yeah, I understand that. I totally, and I appreciate that. I think it's even jarring when you're downtown, frankly, to look around
and sort of see
that, right? My friend lives near Holy Name Cathedral, sent me that picture, and it was hard to sort of reckon the two things at once. But the mayor and the police force were concerned that they may need some sort of back up, not necessarily doing the same role of what the police officers were doing, but some sort of help there. I think they were mostly protecting businesses and landmarks and that sort of thing being stationed outside of them rather than dealing with the other responsibilities. Hey, Gregory, something else you've touched on here, I know, for the Chicago Tribune and your work there. You talked about the Chicago churches now can start opening with 25% capacity. Can you explain to us how that's going, what's going to happen?
Well, I think that's another thing where it's 25% capacity or 50 people, whichever number is bigger, and the churches now can have some mass, which takes some pressure off because the mayor, it was becoming a big conflict, and then the protest happened, and everything took away attention from that. But she was in a big, ugly confrontation with a bunch of churches, particularly on the Northwest side, saying we're not gonna stop holding our mass no matter what you say. And the city was escalating from they fined them and then they said we may have to take more steps to abate you, which is a nice way of saying we may potentially shut you down, which is a place no politician actually wants to be. No elected
shutting down churches
wants to be there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They don't even want to be in a verbal argument with a church, and so that was really starting to escalate, and then the protest took all of the attention and energy away from that, and now it's kind of a moot point. I suppose that I haven't checked actually if Elim Romanian Church or Metro International if they had more than 50 people, but this loosened restrictions take a lot of pressure off both the churches and the city government.
Yeah, those are the two churches that got fined that one weekend, a couple weekends ago, before this went all the way up to the Supreme Court, and that then it sort of came down and we heard that the state of Illinois was going to just send health department guidelines, but not but lift the order on churches. But the Ravenswood Church, we had that pastor on, the Elim Romanian Church, and he said that all along they were, you know, seating families 6 feet apart and looking at social distancing and that kind of thing, that they had set this and had no communion in the public areas, you know, common areas were shut down, that they had been doing that. So I can't imagine that would be any different now. Thank you, Greg. Gregory Pratt, I know you cover a lot of ground, and it's I enjoy your reporting, I enjoy your writing, and thanks for coming on WGN, sharing it with us, your thoughts.
Hey, thank you so much.